This is CliffCentral.com.
Let's get into your Tuesday morning. There's lots of stuff going on in the news. Sia has an update for us on the killer. You know how Sia is about this. He absolutely loves these things. Yeah, you can't get enough of the killer, right?
Well, this is your thing. This is also just a public service announcement. We have to talk about this because it's a bizarre string of stories here.
Is this the serial killer in Pretoria, the homeless killer?
Yeah, whether it's one person or whether it's a squad of people, this is what we know thus far about the homeless murders that have been taking place in Pretoria. So far there have been no arrests since the discovery of a fifth body in Tswane almost 2 weeks ago. And there's been very little information that has been released by the authorities on this string of killings. But here's a consolidated list of what we know. So the first body was found on the 1st of June near a train station. This is according to the police.
Oof.
Two more bodies were found in Magnolia Park on June the 8th and June the 9th. And a fourth was found on a pavement on the corners of Justice Muhammad and Troy Streets on June the 18th. And the most recent and the fifth body was found at a bus stop near UNICE's main campus on June the 19th.
So how do they know that these are linked and it's not just, I don't know, homeless people dying of exposure or maybe drug-related issues?
Well, it's because of what the bodies sustained and how they died. You know, if it was just exposure, it's one thing, but the stabbings and whatnot on the chest to the face as well, that's how you know it's murder. So the police have so far confirmed that all the victims were homeless and they were middle-aged men. All were murdered at night and presumably while they were sleeping. So according to...
Jeez, talk about when you're most vulnerable.
Well, already you are vulnerable living on the street. You know, where can you exactly run to when you're living on the street? At least we can complain about crime, but we go home and we lock our doors and we hope for the best. What do homeless people get to do in these cases? So
it's much, much easier to break through a cardboard box than it is to break into someone's house.
It's just so, so bizarre. To my understanding with what the police have reported and released, all the victims were either stabbed, suffered from blunt force trauma from a heavy object, or injuries inflicted in both manners. However, the post-mortems which were conducted on all five of these victims conclusively identify the cause of death in each case, just as these traumas. So far, the police have confirmed the identities of three of the victims, but are still in the process of finding their next of kin. So while the police have been quite quiet on whether the string of murders was the work of a serial killer, they have dubbed the suspect the Nocturnal Prowler. They say, without sowing panic in our communities, we want to caution the public to be vigilant and aware of the Nocturnal Prowler preying on the vulnerable.
Nocturnal Prowler, he said.
Rhinoceros.
No, Nocturnal Prowler.
Suck a muck of this.
I give up.
He's just not going to get it.
It has to be some sicko, because there is no motivation in killing a homeless person.
That's right.
It's not for money, and it's not a love triangle. So,
well, might be someone in love with them. Highly unlikely, but there's a possibility, right? That
yikes,
someone who's in love with a homeless person. I think it is. I think it's a crazy person.
Mm. Yeah. A member of the police team say, you know, at this point, this is someone who specializes in serial killers. At this point, they say they believe the similarities in the murders are enough for the police to treat the murders as the work of a serial killer. Yeah, so coinciding with the discovery of the fifth body in June, it's great to hear that the police have released a high-level task team, which comprises of forensic specialists and pathologists and criminal psychologists and crime intelligence officers and detectives to prioritize this investigation.
You know, you think about it, it's hard enough to be a homeless person, right? You're trying to survive. It's now the middle of winter, which is an awful time to find yourself on the streets. You don't have money, you don't have resources, you don't have family. You might already have mental illness, like most people who are on the street do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're living from hand to mouth. You're hoping for people to give you a handout because that's the only way you can sustain yourself. It's hard as can be. It's really not a pleasant situation to be in. And then you also have these, you know, this nagging fear that you might be killed. And I don't know what the homeless network is like, because they're certainly not listening to the news. But I'm sure that they'll talk to each other and they'll find out about what happened.
Yeah, word on the street.
Literally.
The train station under the bridge. You know, as a homeless person, it's hard enough. Now you also have to fear for your life? Good Lord. I mean, you could go for more vulnerable people if you tried.
There were two homeless people who have also spoken to the police, and the police have yet to link what these two homeless people have experienced with what could or couldn't be the nocturnal prowler. But these two have said that they have been recently attacked in the middle of the night by someone who, the first man says that he was attacked by someone who wore a balaclava, sorry. I was thinking of the dessert, baklava. Never mind.
Yeah, which homeless people have never had, Sia. How insensitive.
Is that a Freudian slip of notes? There you go, not baklava.
Sia.
If someone attacked me in the middle of the night with baklava, I would have many questions. Sorry, this is a serious story. Serious story, okay. No laughing. Was attacked by someone who wore balaclava and attacked them during the evening while they were sleeping, and says that this person acted alone. The other man recounted that he was attacked at around 3 a.m. and his attacker wore a black hooded jacket and had a large knife with him. So, yeah, just to confirm
but
again.
In both cases, it wasn't a gang of people. It was just this one lone serial killer.
Yeah, but the police just don't want to link the two and say, oh yeah, that's the nocturnal prowler just yet.
Because
don't want to set off panic. And also it could be, you know, then how did they survive? You know, it wasn't really much of a violent thing. But yeah, it's a very odd story monitor and see what's happening.
That's quite enough of making everyone afraid of this nocturnal prowler.
What a name.
I don't know. There's an Uber driver out there.
In South Africa?
No, Connecticut, who you need to look out for.
Are you laughing at this, Leanne?
You know, I think about this often. I think about how we all just get into these cars with these people who we really don't know at all from an app. All they've given us is a registration and a price. You get in. Sometimes you're drunk. Sometimes you fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a friend who fell asleep in an Uber, and the guy just kept on driving
and
charging him.
Yeah, he eventually had like a 500 rand bill or something.
Oh my god,
for the Uber drive that should have cost him like 200 rand. Yup, it does happen. I mean, there are, like in any business, there are good and bad people. I'm not saying that this is an Uber specific problem, but we get into these cars and we trust these people implicitly to take us where we think that we need to go, and we don't really consider what we're doing. We're entrusting everything to a complete stranger. And there will be bad apples, just like there are bad people who own shops. Yeah. There are bad people who own restaurants. There are bad people who, you know, sell life insurance. There are bad people in everything.
Mm.
So what's this guy's
This
issue?
Guy, you know, cops saw this parked BMW on the side of the road, and the windows were steamed up.
Mm-hmm.
So they peered through the windows and they saw an open case of beer in the passenger seat.
Right.
Excuse me. And so they asked him to roll down the window, and when he did, they said, "Can you recite the alphabet?"
I am Tari.
And Bernardo Andrade is his name.
Yeah.
He started with D and ended with K.
Okay.
So he's not handling the alphabet. Okay.
After an officer asked him to get out of his car, he began reaching into his trousers.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So cops feared that he was going to pull out a gun. They wrestled him to the ground.
Never a good sign when someone's reaching into their trousers.
But instead, Bernardo Andrade shouted that he was grabbing a sex toy.
Oh.
And pulled one out of his pants.
Oh.
So now we know why the windows had been steamed up and what he was doing.
Was he alone in the car?
Yes.
Oh, having sexy times.
Sexy selfie time.
You know?
Sure. That's quite something, huh?
So he was charged with interfering with police and driving under the influence.
Yeah.
He did tell cops he was working for Uber, but Uber haven't responded for comment yet.
Well, I don't know how this is Uber's problem.
No, it's not. I mean, again, these are people.
Yeah.
It's a people problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you take out the element of driving under the influence.
Yeah.
Is it still a crime to stop on the side of the road and have sexy
yourself?
Time with yourself? Because I know if there's someone else, it could be public indecency. If you're naked, right?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, he had the decency to steam up the windows so no one could see him.
Yes.
All right. I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Not to sound crass, I often wondered about that as a young lad.
Yeah, I don't think you should be pulling over on the side of the road and pleasuring yourself.
No.
Especially if you're also waiting to pick up a passenger in your Uber vehicle. Ugh. Now I'm going to suddenly be even more suspicious of those back seats.
The less you think about that, the better. Because who knows how many people have thrown up on back seats. And
it's still better than being arrested for drunk driving.
You've got to weigh it up.
Yeah, yeah. And these cases are still very much so in the minority. So let's not freak out too much.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Let's move on to something a little lighter.
All right.
Like why you can't stop farting at gym.
Oh, that's lighter to you, is it?
Listen, I'd say.
I don't fart at the gym because people walk right past you.
I don't fart at all because I'm a lady.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, no. But, you know, it happens to people in, you know, especially in yoga where it's kind of quiet. You don't
Oh, that's, no, that's true.
You don't have this crazy spinning music going on. When you're lifting weights, etc. But the reason why it's happening is obviously you're moving your body.
Sure.
Okay. You're squishing everything around on the inside. How you breathe plays a role too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're breathing inefficiently when you work out, it's more likely that you'll probably fart. If you don't inhale and exhale properly, it can cause flatulence at a higher rate.
Can we just, for once and for all, determine where it is appropriate to fart? Clearly, people build up gas. You've got to do something about it. You go to the bathroom, and you do it there. And then you come out of the bathroom after you've let out a long, powerful fart, and you come back to where you were, and you get on with your work.
I mean, sometimes it happens, just, you know, when you're bending over, or, you know, what you eat matters as well. A lot of carbonated drinks, sugar-free drinks.
Yeah?
Those
sugar-free drinks?
Yeah.
Really?
All of that they've put into there. And then the obvious, you know, Brussels sprouts and onions and beans.
Oh.
But also gulping water is a culprit.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you're taking a whole lot of air, you see.
Mm-hmm. If you gulp down, you're swallowing all this air into the digestive tract, which will either be released through the mouth or the anus. And what I quite like is that the woman who's written this article, her name is Audra Wilson, RD, nutritionist at the Metabolic Health and Surgical Weight Loss Center. She's pretty high up in her business, but she calls it farting. And it reminds me, I went for a scan once. It was just, you know, a normal trip to my physician, and he sends me for a whole scan just to check that everything's good inside. And the woman who was conducting the scan, a doctor, she was showing me the screen. And she said, she was looking at my intestines.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, okay, these are your intestines. And I said, I want all those big black areas.
Yes.
She went, just farts.
Oh, really? Wow. It's a lot, huh? You were building up a bit of a reserve.
Oh, wow.
Super embarrassing.
Yeah, so what's the appropriate behavior? Seriously, like what do? You have to leave the room.
Yeah, you do need to leave the room.
Go to the bathroom.
I think the loo is a bit too risky.
Why?
But I wouldn't do it here at the office.
Why? Because there could be someone else in the bathroom.
Absolutely. Or I wouldn't go up and just like let myself go, then someone walks in. No, thank you. No.
But for some people, it's a real problem. It can become really painful. It can interfere with the quality of your workouts.
Yeah, well, forget about the gym for a second. Just think about if you're stuck at work for a whole day.
Yeah.
And you don't get a chance to let loose.
Or on a date or in a movie.
Yeah, it builds up. It can be very, very uncomfortable.
There's sneaky places you can do it.
Like where? Come on, help us out here.
I would, you know, if I did.
Where would you go?
I'd go to my car.
Oh, so you fart in your car?
Absolutely.
You're always left with a nasty present.
You trap it in there?
I'd far rather have that than I'm standing outside, then Sally Ann walks up to me and it's like, whoa, see what's going on here.
Sorry, who the hell's Sally Ann? Does she work here?
Maybe. It's just a hypothetical situation.
Better tell me if she's on the payroll.
There is a benefit.
I don't know.
There is a benefit to smoking because you go outside for smoke breaks, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Is that what you
do? Yeah, you see?
And then the smoke traps it up. Okay, I got you. Wow. See, we're learning useful things.
I would walk, just walk somewhere far away.
Okay.
Just so that.
Can people please stop farting on planes, says someone else.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
They probably do it in their sleep as well.
You can't do that on planes. But then you are on a plane for a long time. Mm. See, again,
and
go to the bathroom.
There's a lot of pressure and weird things going on.
Yeah, that's when it's fine to go to the loo. Oh, please. Oh, you know, people
it's
just.
The only place. There's nowhere you can escape to on a plane. You just got to go to the bathroom on a plane. It's the only way.
I'll just confidently walk through the aisles, like, sorry, just where's my seat again?
And then really fast, just rip one as you go past people?
You need one of those silent ones.
And leave them with the remnants? Oh, that's terrible. It's terrible. All right, what else is going on?
Some medical myths that have now been cleared up very recently.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, to protect against asthma attacks, we're often told, we know this, to keep our house free of dust mites and mice and cockroaches.
Right.
But apparently that's not true.
Huh.
The theory was that allergic reactions to them can trigger asthma attacks.
You have a pump, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do. But research has shown that intensive pest management in homes with children sensitized to mouse allergens did nothing to reduce the frequency of their asthma attacks.
Okay, good. So these little creatures and the insects are not the reason that you get asthma.
Yes.
In fact, it helps you build up your resistance.
Here's another fact. Step counters and calorie trackers do not help you lose weight.
No, they don't.
Oh. The reverse is actually true. Among 470 dieters followed for 2 years, those who wore devices tracking the steps they took and calories they burned actually lost less weight than those who just followed standard advice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's the pressure, you see.
Take that, you wearables people.
Yeah, and then it's, I didn't finish my steps. I might as well just have a cheesecake. It's a mental thing, you see.
Right. Meanwhile, if you just walked and walked and walked because you had to get somewhere, you wouldn't be counting your steps.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you were walking far away from your work building to fart.
Yeah, good point. There we go, Sia. Combining the stories this morning.
Take that, Dr. Excellent. Oz.
Okay.
We're often told that ginkgo biloba helps with our memory loss and dementia.
Who's she again?
She's that secretary from Ruffles Street.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Ginkgo biloba. I remember her.
This is the supplement made from the leaves of the ginkgo trees.
Yes.
And people still take it. They think it helps protect against memory loss and dementia. But a very large study has found that this supplement is useless for this purpose.
Useless?
Yes.
Huh.
But still, it pulls in $249 million in sales a year.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, ginkgo biloba.
Mm.
Don't work. Another fact, a lifelike doll carried around by teenage girls will not deter pregnancies.
Yep, obviously.
Excuse me, what?
The idea was that these girls would learn through because the dolls cry when they need to be changed or cuddled.
It's almost like a Tamagotchi. Remember those things?
Yeah. So the idea was they would learn how much work was actually involved in caring for a baby.
Now, if you want to get people to understand the responsibility to being a parent, you have to just leave them alone with a young child for about 15 minutes.
Well, this is what you would think.
Yeah.
But a randomized study found that the girls who were told to carry around infant simulators actually were slightly more likely to become pregnant than girls who didn't get the dolls.
Hmm. I don't understand that, but there must be some correlation. Okay.
Apparently, fish oil does not reduce the risk of heart disease.
Oh.
You know, this is going to piss all those people off who have those
omega-3 supplements.
Oh, they're the most revolting tablets in the world. That oily, bulky,
cod liver
thick
oil.
Oh, and the smell.
Mm.
I think that's one of the smells I still associate with my grandfather.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's cod that liver and oil. His aftershave and that combination the combo, in the bathroom. Yeah. Just doesn't sit well with me.
Mm. Oh. Right.
So a trial involving 12,500 people at risk for heart trouble who took daily omega-3 supplements, it did not protect them against heart disease.
Look at you full of health advice this morning.
Some farts.
Yeah, you can save yourself some money on stupid supplements that don't work. Ginkgo biloba.
Mm-hmm.
Do me a favor. All right, what
or
else?
Even testosterone treatment. Mm-hmm. I didn't know
this. What do you mean?
I didn't know this, but some men undergo testosterone treatment because it helps older men retain their memory.
Huh?
That's what they thought.
Where am I?
And you obviously haven't gone for this treatment.
Testosterone is linked to your memory.
Yeah, so it seems that it's believed that testosterone better preserves tissue in some parts of the brains.
Brains?
I didn't know that.
I don't have brains.
There's nothing to preserve.
Huh.
Yeah, not in my head. There's nothing. Listen, you hear this? That's the sound of my brains.
Oh my God, no!
Shame, that's unfortunate.
Ah.
And then something just helpful for the man on the street.
Uh-oh, if careful, because the man on the streets are currently trying to get away from a serial killer.
Yeah, that's true. They've got enough to focus on.
The nocturnal prowler.
If a pregnant woman's water breaks prematurely, the baby does not have to be delivered immediately. So don't panic.
Okay, then I'll just leave it, you know, I'll just walk away the way I was planning to do anyway.
It can happen a few weeks before the woman's due date even.
What?
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Right.
And it was always thought that by obstetricians that bacteria would invade what had been a sterile environment around the fetus, causing infection and, you know, hence the need to deliver immediately. But a clinical trial has shown that while waiting for labor to begin naturally, the fetus is at no greater risk for infection.
All right, a few people with comments here. The first of all, there's this one. Let me just try and get the people's names as well. Sandile, who says taxi farts are the worst.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Sandile. Those are really baked.
Yes, terrible. And Fundo says, if you don't like to fart, don't eat beans and eggs, people.
Mm-hmm.
Good point, well put. And the things I can tell you about the complementary medicine industry. Snake oil salesman making a big buck off of the vulnerable public. That's from Dr. Robin Spring, who's our resident gynecologist.
Mm-hmm. Snake oil.
Yes, snake oil. You know, they sell all these. If you go into a pharmacy, you get all these supplements and these natural remedies. It's all nonsense. All of it.
I don't know if all of it is.
No, it really is.
Well, I'll just reserve my comments because I know I'm a very gullible consumer. Tell me there's anti-aging. Tell me there's a new regime. Tell me there's a never-before-used mineral. I will throw my money at you in 2.3 seconds.
I can see you going to the shop and doing that. Carla says, if you want people to know what it's like to have children, simply take 70% of the money they earn before they've paid any expenses and throw it in a fire. Then set up a speaker that screams for no reason every 45 minutes.
Okay. Kala, you must be having a great day with your children.
Yeah, Kala has kids, but that's how he's feeling.
Oh, no, man. Yeah. Pretty sure it's more rewarding than just burning fire.
And the same Dr. Robin, who's our gynecologist, says water breaking before the time is actually quite a serious issue. So don't think you could just ignore it, according to her. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Uh-huh. All right, a few of those cool things that we can think about. Coming up in a little while, we'll speak to Dieter Kunze, who's a self-taught app developer. We'll talk about programming and coding, and if he can teach himself, maybe there are some other people who could teach themselves to develop apps. He is the guy who created the app called Lazy Bones. He was here at St. Stillian's College in Johannesburg, and he's a young South African creative designer. So if you want to hear his story, that's coming up in a short while.
There might be hope for us.
I don't know, see, I think
I don't know about me, actually.
Beyond hope for me and you.
Mind.
By the way, this is also from Carl. He says, Sia, you need to know the difference between a balaclava and baklava, all right? So baklava, you make...
It's the Greek dessert.
That's right.
Pastry.
Nuts.
Pistachios.
That's right. And pastry. Put it into the oven. Put some honey on it. Oh, that's baklava, right? And a balaclava is what you wear when you go and rob a bank.
Oh, and it's cold.
What?
Yes.
Nah.
The beanie with the open...
That's still not ready.
You don't want to be wearing a baklava when you're meant to be wearing a balaclava.
No, that stuff will get in your eyes. Plus, yeah. You might have nut allergies.
And you don't want to order a balaclava either.
No.
At a restaurant.
Very woolly and squeaky between the teeth.
Just okay. Not a great dessert.
KC wants to know, guys, why are farts in the bath so terrible? I'm asking Sia because he baths in a big bath all the time.
They do amplify, don't they?
They do. That they do.
It is so gross. I don't know why, but that is gross. You don't do that.
It came out like to the power of five.
No, but if you sit with the idea of what you're doing as well, it's not cute or sexy. You're farting in the water that you're meant to use to clean yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fart in the water, folks. Just don't do it.
Don't bath, Sia. You're wallowing in filth.
It's
disgusting. Yes, don't bath.
That's my opportunity.
Can we just please stop being so filthy this morning? Enough about all these stinky, dirty, revolting things. Let's talk about people. No, let's talk about a creature that is immune to everything. It is impossible to kill. What am I talking about?
The gecko in my house.
Okay. A cockroach.
Cockroaches.
Oh, that is still filthy, though.
A cockroach.
It's always been the theory that cockroaches will outlive us, right?
They will. They're already planning to. I heard them conspiring the other night.
Got instantly itchy.
It's becoming meeting. True.
Three of them met in my kitchen, and they were planning the whole thing.
Cockroaches are now being shown to be born impervious to the toxins that their past generations were exposed to. So these cockroaches who've never been encountered a toxin in their lives before are born resistant to toxins because their parents were already exposed to them.
You cannot kill them. There's no insecticide that'll kill them.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's the study was conducted in particular on the German cockroach called Blattella germanica. And it develops an immunity to new poisons as quickly as one generation of offspring. Really fast. I mean, usually this evolution like that takes years, right?
Millions of years.
Yeah. No, just one generation.
Huh.
As soon as the parents exposed, the eggs are immune.
Well, they say that if there was a nuclear holocaust, if some massive nuclear war started and we ended up firing off all our atomic weapons at each other and Earth was just covered in this nuclear winter, that the only animals that would be sure to survive would be the cockroaches.
Mm.
And people joke about this all the time, but they would. They can survive anything. They live under and behind fridges. They live under and behind ovens. The temperatures that they're exposed to are extreme. You can't kill them. I mean, I've seen people spraying like those Parktown prawns that live in Johannesburg.
Mm.
I've seen people spraying them with like a can of doom until they've got a white crust on top of them.
Yes.
And they still walk away.
No, I've chopped
their
head
walk
off.
They walk away.
I've chopped the head off by mistake using the bucket method. And the body jumped around for 3 days under the bucket.
Right. It's the way to kill these things.
Yeah, they're looking at ways in future to use traps and vacuums and things like that. So physical methods.
Oh my god!
Rather than chemical.
They're just indestructible. That's the problem with these things. I know someone.
You know, they've got wings, but they rarely fly because they just don't even really need.
Do they all have wings?
Mm-hmm. Cockroaches. Yeah. They don't use them.
The German cockroaches do.
They just look at you. They look at you and go, go on, try to kill me. I dare you.
We experienced a lot of those in the Durban summers when you've sprayed one and then in its last moments alive just starts flapping that wing.
And you know they call their friends. Like, when one of them dies, they let off a chemical that gets the others to come.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, these horrible things. Oh, these are wretched. And
I know someone who had an infestation in one of their walls. Had to chop out the wall. And then like a million of these things fell out of the wall.
Well, obviously, now I'm looking up cockroach stories. And there's a quote advertising a news story where it says, "They're like my children, the woman who keeps 100,000 cockroaches in her home."
No, lady, no, don't. You know, there are so many surveys and studies done on the daily. I will appreciate a survey done on the place, whether it's a town, community, or country with the least amount of insects. That's what I'll appreciate.
It's not necessarily a good thing, because then you're talking about pollinators as well.
Don't care, I'll move there.
You're not going to eat an apple again in your life.
There's a picture on the internet of a cockroach infestation in a dishwasher.
No.
Inside the door flap of the dishwasher, there's an infestation of hundreds of these things. They can
nice
live in
and
a
dark and moist.
But they can live in a dishwasher. Do you see how tough they are? They'll make it anywhere, I'm telling you. You've got to look out.
And talking about healing potions, the world's largest cockroach farm is breeding 6 billion adult cockroaches a year in China and using artificial intelligence to manage a colony larger than the world's human population, all for medicinal use. It's for a healing potion consumed by millions of patients in China. But yes, imagine that. 6 billion.
I hate this. I hate it all. My skin's crawling. These are odd.
All right, let's leave it alone.
Yeah.
Let's talk about an animal that did something heroic. There's this fox that traveled 3,500 kilometers. One of those Arctic foxes.
Fantastic, Mr. Fox.
It went all the way from Norway across Siberia to Canada.
Also, what's amazing about this is the time in which she did it. It's the fastest movement rate for this species ever recorded.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's...
Are they sure it was the same one, or was it a twin? They did a relay and...
No, she was fitted with a tracking device. Uh-huh. She was fitted in July 2017, so 2 years ago. She walked from Norway to Canada in just 76 days.
Wow. Have you ever gone on Google Maps and seen how long it would take you to walk somewhere?
Yes, sometimes it happens by mistake.
Have that option.
Yeah.
So interesting. Because I did this the other day by mistake, and I was meant to check something for like how long a flight would be. So if I wanted to go to, let's say, Norway, all right? Let's say Oslo in Norway. And if I put into Google Maps, if I put in like my current destination or my current place, and then I say I want to go to this place, then it'll help me figure out the destination and the distance, right? So let me go Norway. It's giving me all the local places.
It was Ellesmere Island in Canada.
All right, so let's say from Ellesmere.
E-L-L-E-S, Mere.
Island, got it, in Baffin, in organized Canada.
Baffin.
From the Arctic in Norway, let's say Svalbard.
Yes, that's exactly where it was.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes.
All right, good. See, I know my way.
Spitsbergen.
So there's no way you can go by car or bus, but if you had to walk, let's see what they say.
Yeah, you've got to walk on the sea ice.
It says it can't find a way there. It won't help me at all. There's just no way for humans to go there, according to Google Maps. But I tried this the other day from South Africa to France, and it said to me it would take me 110 days to walk. But it doesn't factor in that you need to sleep. So you can easily multiply that by two or three. So we're probably talking like a whole year.
Yeah.
If you had to walk to France. Because think about the route you'd have to take.
Oh, that's the thing. And if you look at the route that this fox took, she didn't just go as the crow flies.
No, she went over Greenland. She went through, along the Arctic ice. Okay, so I thought she went along Siberia, but she went the opposite way. She went west, not
obviously.
East. So she went from Svalbard up into the Lapland area, very far north of Norway, then across the Arctic ice, over the top of Greenland, but in a very kind of higgledy-piggledy route and then ends up on Ellesmere Island.
Yeah. And actually, when she first started out and was...
Good for her.
Moving along the water in Spitsbergen, they thought that perhaps her collar had fallen off and was taken on board a boat for some reason, because they said, there's no way that this thing could be traveling that fast.
Wow.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's what it did.
Well, good for her.
Across sea ice and glaciers, average of 46.3 kilometers per day. And on one day in particular, traveled a whopping 155 kilometers when it was on the ice sheet in northern Greenland. Well, she probably slid.
That's very, very impressive.
Your example of walking to France or somewhere just reminded me of a story I heard the other day. You know how now it's so cool to start a GoFundMe page, and
everyone's doing this.
You must just substantiate what it's about, and you tell your story, and people will just be invested enough to give their own money to your cause.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's this married couple from Germany who run a joint Instagram account. It's called Another Beautiful Day, and they're influencers, so they travel all the time and they take fabulous pictures. Their names are Caitlin and Alina, and they have started a new GoFundMe account because they'd like to be funded for 10,000 euros. That's like 11,000 US dollars, because they'd like to cycle from Germany to Africa. And they just specified Africa because, of course, Africa is one big country.
But are you flying to Egypt or to somewhere in South Africa?
They don't know. They just said that's what they have their eyes set on. They travel the world all the time. And now they are looking for 10,000 euros
but hang on,
for
people just to pitch in. Well, they just want people to give them money so
and
they can travel.
Will.
Yes.
They will. Jeez,
people are dumb.
Because they have to fuel content for their Instagram account, and especially since they'll be cycling from Germany to Africa. But this is the kicker. So they just think this is normal in their mind.
How do these people get off knowing that other people are funding their lifestyle? I mean, that's all it is. You're not helping the poor or doing anything useful or being a kind, considerate human. You're just basically glomming off of everyone else. Mm-hmm. Help me pay for my trips.
I mean, all you're doing really is providing content. So pictures, videos, experiences.
Can we start a Take My Funding Away account for these people?
Because it gets worse.
Ordinary members of the public get on there and they vote for these people to have their money taken away.
Because it gets worse. If you want to see how they look, their account is another_beautiful_day_official. And they look like the younger and it's oddly possible, dirtier version of Die Antwoord. This is how the couple looks. Heavily tattooed, don't look like they've showered in a while. And this is what they write in their GoFundMe account. We could write a long text about mental health or global warming. We could tell you about following your dreams or how important stepping out of your comfort zone is. We could tell you how beautiful traveling is and its benefits, or the fact that most news don't match reality. But we want to focus on a celebration of life as we ride freely across mountains, by sea and through metropolitans. This is how they're coaxing more people to donate. Then they try to be more emotional, but this is when they've now received backlash from tons of people who say, listen guys, go for your dreams, but also grow up and get serious about your life, because they also admitted that they don't work, both of them.
Of course not.
And one of their mothers has to work two jobs fund them so far.
That is ridiculous.
I hate the story. It drives me. This makes me mad. I've got to calm myself down when I hear stuff like this. I go crazy. Who the hell does this?
They've now had to delete their GoFundMe page because everyone is now saying, get serious about your life and grow up. Well, no one is going to help you right now.
And that's a happy story because it ends with them having to delete their GoFundMe account.
Imagine as a married couple, you are adults and you feel like, of course other people can fund my life. Your own mother has to work two jobs to fund your traveling just so that you can fuel your Instagram account.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. In the now deleted GoFundMe page, one of them says, some will tell us to get jobs like everyone else and stop begging. But when you have the impact we do on others' lives, getting a job is not an option.
Oh, my word.
And they will say it exactly like that. We have impact in other people's lives. No, you don't. You just like to travel. And who doesn't?
He says,
everyone on earth would like to travel, but they do it on their own expense.
We could model and make fast money, but we don't want to advertise consumerism. A normal job at this point would be detrimental. Mind you, they're German, but I just felt like a Californian Valley Girl accent helps the storytelling.
It totally does.
It's literally like a normal job is detrimental.
Dumelo and I are on the same page here. I think you guys should start a GoFundMe account to petition removing these GoFundMe accounts. Like Sia said, people are gullible out there. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. Someone said, I want to donate to help your poor mother go on vacation instead of you two douchebags.
Right. Thank you. I wrote that comment. So it was my comment. All right. Why don't we talk about something really, really useful?
I think
something that actually matters? Let's get Dieter Kunze in here. He is a programming and coding genius. He created the app called Lazy Bones, and he taught himself how to do this stuff. If you're getting started on your coding journey, then this might be the perfect dose of inspiration that you need this morning. He's 21 years old. He's a self-taught app developer, Dieter Kunze. He's in this morning to teach us a few tips and tricks about coding and programming. He went to school here in Johannesburg, is a creative designer, and he created the app called Lazy Bones. It's an app that tracks and monitors various aspects of your daily life, focusing on mental and physical well-being by building healthy habits into a routine. The Lazy Bones app was named App of the Day and listed as Editor's Choice on the App Store in the last year, which is pretty damn impressive. On being in the app space, Dieter says, I think we've only just scratched the surface of what technology can do for us. I think we all agree about that. I spent a lot of time watching online YouTube videos and finding sites that teach things like video editing, graphic design, and coding languages make it easier for anyone to understand, even if you don't necessarily have the qualifications. All you need is passion and determination. It has hit 100,000 users already. So first of all, congratulations, man. That's a hell of an achievement. Well done. That's very, very good. So Dieter, how did this all start for you? I mean, when you finished school, you didn't know you wanted to be an app developer.
I didn't at all. And, through high school, I remember waiting around all day for the IT period to come around. I was in love with programming. Shortly after high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I hadn't applied to any universities, and my mom had the idea for me to start doing some client work. We had a family friend who was looking to do an app.
Yeah.
So I began building the app for him. And around that time...
But you had no experience in this?
No, I had no experience other than high school.
Right, and no qualifications either. No, you didn't go and study engineering or programming or information technology at university, any of that stuff, right?
But that's the best way, self-taught, when it comes to these things.
It's an extremely accessible industry.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have done the basics in high school, it sort of depends how you want to specialize, sort of like being a surgeon in a particular field. If you want to go into mobile, it's extremely different from going into server architectures or other types of software engineering. So all you need to do is look online on YouTube. There are many forums online where people are doing the work that you want to do, mm-hmm. and they're extremely eager to help.
That's interesting, because a lot of people think, well, unless you are either wealthy enough to go to university, or if you have the time to set aside to learn how to do this stuff formally, you're never going to get into this world. It's too complicated.
It really depends, I guess, with anything, how much time you put into it. I know people who, especially on Twitter, that I see that seem very discouraged, and that have probably been working on projects that they wanted to do for maybe 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But Lazy Bones has taken in excess of a year and a half to build now. It takes time to get a product onto the world stage, especially on Apple, for it to be recognized.
Yeah, to get it through the app stores is a nightmare.
You're in competition with many, many people.
But what's interesting here is that I suppose you also have to have some kind of native intelligence. Like, you have to have an ability, because coding does rely on logic, it does rely on maths, does rely on some very simple rules, which you need to learn to apply and be able to do, right? And you couldn't have been, I don't think you were the kind of guy who just sat around at school, you know, doing poorly. It's not like you watched YouTube videos rather than doing your work.
True. I definitely wasn't an A student at school.
That's perfect.
I didn't do incredibly well in math.
Because the A students will end up going to university and becoming doctors and lawyers.
Well,
and
what happened to me was quite funny. It came around grade 10 time. We had to choose our subjects we had to do.
Uh-huh.
And the grade of the head of academics for our grade met with me and my parents.
Yeah.
And he discouraged the fact that I wanted to do IT because I was very low in my math class in grade 9. And my mom, being a powerhouse businesswoman, you know, pushed him aside and pushed me into the IT class. And I'm incredibly grateful for that, or I wouldn't be where I am right now. But I don't think mathematics and programming go hand in hand.
No.
But Dieter, don't you...
sometimes, honestly.
I know, teachers can really put you off stuff. But what interests me here also is that you seem like the kind of guy who you knew you had a liking for this. I mean, there's so many jobs that are on their way that we don't even know about yet, that are going to need people who are able to be as diverse in their skills as possible, who are going to need to be adaptable to various circumstances and changes in the atmosphere and changes in the way that we behave with each other and changes in the commercial interactions that we have with each other. You've got to be able to adapt to those things, right? Now, your idea, because everybody's got good ideas, but you actually went and built it. I mean, so with Lazy Bones, for example, you had to sit down and do the unglamorous work of actually putting this app together, of integrating various, obviously, wearable technologies into it. People had to put in information of their own, but in the beginning, it was just you. Couldn't have been easy.
You know, it took an incredibly long time, but I think, looking back now, I didn't spend any time really thinking to myself, wow, this is what I want to build at the end of the day. I thought to myself, what do I enjoy doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I did it at school. I enjoyed sitting down and coding, and at home I enjoyed sitting down and coding, and that's my meditation, that's my free space. I can spend hours doing it. I'll forget to eat lunch. I'll go the entire day from morning to evening because I love doing it.
Right.
And this is not my first project that I've attempted to put out, but it was more for me the ideology that if you really love doing something and you put all of your energy into it, you're going to have a yield. I wasn't thinking to myself, I want to make this amount of money, I want this app to be this successful,
no,
have this many users.
No, you can't.
It was all just simply, I love doing this, let me give it an honest shot. My friends had gone to Stellenbosch and UCT, I'm alone in Johannesburg, let me give it a shot.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I've been doing.
Did it also, part of it come out of boredom?
I guess a little bit. It started there.
Yeah, be honest, I mean, this is part of the thing. All right, I'm curious about how you knew it was starting to take off and it was starting to work, because most people... even if they do build something great, even if the idea is terrific, they never really get it off the ground. When did you start realizing that, hey, this thing has legs, it might actually go somewhere?
Well, the worst thing about mobile app development is you can spend an incredibly long time building something, and then you go to put it on the store and you realize that it has 5 downloads and no one's really engaging with it.
Yeah.
And I had an app that I launched just after high school, before I began to do my client work, that had that similar experience. And it's a little bit disheartening and you get discouraged. But with Lazy Bones, shortly after I launched it, first of all, I spent an incredibly long time building it before I launched it. And as soon as I launched it, I got an email from the Apple editorial team.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, hey, we've seen your work. We really like it. Come in and meet with us. And obviously I was over the moon. This was Apple contacting me. And one of their representatives flew out from Dubai. This was before they had a Johannesburg office. And I met with him. Lovely, lovely people. And he introduced me to the team, and they've been working hand in hand with me, giving me insight onto, you know, what technologies are working for Apple, what should I be pushing into, what should I be focusing on, and they've given me a lot of editorial support since then. And that's when I realized that Lazy Bones was working.
But that speaks well of Apple, that they actually identified this and made the effort with you, because you would think a company that's already, you know, selling billions and billions of dollars of equipment all over the world, what the hell would they be interested in this for? It's just a distraction to them.
Yeah.
But they clearly realized that there was something cool going on.
Yeah. Well, Apple has a different submission system for their apps than other platforms like Google does. So they look at every single app that passes through, and they have to physically use it on an actual device before they're allowed onto their store.
Hmm.
So that gives the editorial team a chance to gloss over everything that's coming in and really look at all of the products.
And they always say there's an app for everything, right? And there are millions and millions of apps already.
Half of them are on my phone.
Yeah, yes. Leanne's got like 23 home pages on her phone.
I've already downloaded Lazy Bones. I'm just like, new app, yay.
All right. So what made yours different, though? What do you think the unique selling point was? What was it about Lazy Bones that made it different and interesting?
You know, productivity is often a very black and white space.
Yeah.
You can get many to-do list apps, but it's all very drab. I mean, to-dos and productivity is not fun. So I thought to myself, well, Lazy Bones, let me attempt to make this approachable. Let me make it a little bit more colloquial. So I've used colors and emojis to help you formulate your goals instead of having this monotonous thing like you would on any other task manager.
And does it help you to achieve these things by giving you day-to-day?
It does, yes. And it gives you day-to-day motivation in a fun way.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more calm. It's distracting you from the fact that these are goals you have to set.
Mm-hmm.
Because the word goals has created this like...
Well, it's intimidating.
Right? Yes, exactly.
And people need this motivation. I mean, if you think about it, there are so many people in society who just have no one to guide them. They don't have anybody to refer to. They don't have necessarily the resources to be able to just steam ahead.
True.
So sometimes these things help them to get through difficult and complex situations.
Mm. Mm. And it's also just a way of life, really, that a lot of people have chosen to live as a single person or without a partner or without a roommate. And so you don't have anybody to really justify your... Or prove what you've done to. You kind of want a sounding board. You want someone to say, oh, did you just go to gym? That's great. Oh, that's three times this week. You know, but no one does when you're alone.
And that's what it does? So what's your day-to-day at the moment?
So my day-to-day includes things like meditating, which I've been wanting to get into.
There are plenty of good apps for that, too.
There are plenty. Mm. Headspace being one of them.
Mm. Is that one you use?
Yes. Headspace is a fantastic app. Meditation was something I wanted to get into for a long time. And I actually used my own app to get myself into it because it's one of those things I put off saying, oh, it's not going to make a difference for me. Mm-hmm. And only once you do it, you realize that it does actually make a difference
for you.
Do
you start your day with it?
I do.
20 minutes?
15 minutes.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Good. Is it something you do? You wake up and you meditate straight away or do you get ready and
I get ready and then as soon as I'm feeling stressed after getting dressed and showering, then I meditate and then I go into my work.
Okay. I would just fall asleep again.
See, that's the only downside of trying it in the morning. I've fallen asleep so many times.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And what else do you do? So after you've meditated, is that when you then get on with the work?
That's when I go to gym.
Okay.
So I train in the morning.
First thing in the morning.
Yes.
Good.
Just to get the blood flowing, get awake.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'll sleep until 12:30 and then not get anything done.
Same here, but I have to be here. yes.
Yeah, so go to gym and then... one of the biggest things that I've been getting into lately is ignoring fizzy drinks and coffee for water.
Right.
And that's something I've been pushing myself to do. And I feel fantastic, to be honest with you.
More energy?
A lot more energy.
Yeah.
Not relying on caffeine as much.
See, we all think coffee's good for us because it gives us that buzz, but it actually is probably unnecessary.
I mean, I don't think you realize how you should feel until you stop drinking the things that you drink every single day.
I like this.
Yeah, this is one of the things that I live by. It doesn't matter... what you do one day. If I decide to do something today, it's not going to make a difference in my life, probably. It's what I do every single day of my life. And sometimes we get into a routine of having caffeine every single day of our lives, and our body needs a chance to detox.
And, of course, the fizzy drinks are no good because most of them are high in sugar.
And aspartames and all sorts of chemicals.
It's not good for you, all right? So
yeah, and
we'll,
how's
we'll
this
cut
making
those
you
out.
Feel?
No, this is good. Carry on, Dieter. Ignore them.
I'll just look at the app and feel good about the fact that I've downloaded it
there
so far.
Okay.
All right, make a change. What else do you do?
Yeah, so then I sit down and I work.
And this coding, what does it actually require? If people want to, I mean, they might be inspired by your story, but what kind of things should they be doing if they want to learn, if they want to teach themselves how to code like you did?
Gosh, there are many, many websites. One of them that I'll name because it's given me a multitude of insights is Stack Overflow.
Mm-hmm.
It's called stackoverflow.com. And it's people from all around the world. I guess where I go with my programming is start doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you can't do it anymore, that's when you go online and you look for how to do it. And eventually, once you repeat that process for a couple of weeks, you will have taught yourself something. Do you know what I mean? You will have formed your own syllabus, as it were.
And it gets quite complicated quite early, or does it?
It does. I mean,
can you go quite far down that rabbit hole before you end up stuck?
It gets difficult really quickly because if you haven't got any background, especially from high school, there are things that you need to understand that you'll find throughout all programming.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called object-oriented programming, which is the style of programming everything we use today it works off of. And if you understand that, then you can move forward into specializing your knowledge.
How could we explain this to someone who's never done any coding in their life before? Is it like building a building, that the code is the bricks that puts the building together? How do you explain it to people who've never done coding?
This would be an interesting analogy. I guess the best way to look at it is each piece of hardware you use goes through a different life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So you unlock your phone and you open the app. Now you have the app in a certain state. You need to take into account the fact that people don't just open the app and use it and close it.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly multitasking, which means you're going to open the app, you're going to put it in the background, you're going to bring it back to the foreground,
mm-hmm.
you're going to close it, you're going to lock your phone, you're going to get a phone call. Do you know what I mean? All of these different things. So I guess you have to understand that code is an adaptive thing. You need to take into account every single situation that can come about while the user is using it. It's almost like a living thing.
So the tree has to have branches that go somewhere.
This would be a nice analogy, yes. We start with the trunk, which is the main code,
right?
The main product, but you have to take into account thousands of different paths people could take while using it, and in every different order.
You have to solve each one of those so that they don't end up with a fatal error that they
so if I'm busy doing
the program useless.
Exactly. If I'm doing a download in my app and I get a phone call, mm-hmm. and the network cuts out or my Wi-Fi dies, I get a power failure, is the app going to explode or was it going to deal with that?
It's going to have a plan.
These different things. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Exploding apps are not good.
Not good.
No.
Yeah, no. You don't want anything exploding. All right. I'm very impressed with this. This sounds like a good way to get things done. So what are the ambitions for you going forward? I mean, what would you like to see yourself doing in 5 years' time?
Gosh, in 5 years' time, well, for the next year or so, I'm going to be working on LazyBones. There's still a lot that I want to explore with machine learning,
mm-hmm.
and deeper applications into Apple's technologies. But in the next 5 years, I'm interested in going either of two directions. I'm very, very interested in medicine,
okay.
as an application of technology.
Right.
We're already starting to see it with companies like Apple integrating cardiological equipment into their wearable devices. I think that's an industry that is definitely going to boom soon. I think your phone is going to be your general practitioner.
Now, I already use it. I've got this blood pressure monitor that, look, I don't have blood pressure problems, but they gave it to me as a tester, and I've actually been using it to test out my pulse, you know, hyperstolic and diastolic or systolic and diastolic blood pressures. And it's interesting stuff. I mean, like, you can figure out quite a lot about the health of your body and what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. And I suppose all of this stuff is what people want now. There's so much information. But we can now find ways to interpret this information.
Exactly.
And make it valuable.
I mean, if you wear an Apple Watch and you're tracking your exercise, for example, there's so many metrics that you're getting back that would take you hours to calculate yourself. I know exactly what my heart rate was at any time of the day. I know exactly what my breathing rate was like. When did I work out? When was my heart rate elevated? How long did it take to reduce?
Mm.
What is my VO2 max? How fit does that make me? We're getting tracked already metabolically by all of these different devices we wear. And I think it's only going to get bigger from here.
Well, good luck to you. That's terrific.
Thank you.
The Lazy Bones app, you can download it from any of the good app stores now. Some very interesting stuff. Get into coding if this is something that sounds like it might be interesting to you, because you don't need a degree to learn how to code. You can get started without any debt, because we know how much people pay for a university degree, and that doesn't necessarily do them any good either.
Mm.
Thanks, Dieter. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Thank
you. Dieter Kunze and the Lazy Bones app. Very, very good. All right.
Nice.
Nice stuff. There's something inspiring for the morning. All right, that's all we got time for today, though. We're going to wrap it up, and we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9 o'clock. CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.